Hi, I'm Emma Cartmell, and this is Love Life, Live Well, the lifestyle magazine for your ears. I hope that by listening, you learn something new. I hope that you try something new. And above all else, I hope that you love your life and remember to live well. A lot lately about gut health. So I asked the lovely Janine McGee to come on this podcast to explain to me what all the hype is about, why it's so important, why everyone's talking about our guts at the moment. And she really simplified it for me. When I first spoke to her, she basically said that our gut health affects the health of our hormones. So very simply put, if our guts aren't healthy, our hormones aren't healthy either. And therefore, they can't do all the things they're supposed to. And I'm sure we would all like to have very happy hormones running around our bodies. If you really want a simple approach to gut health and have happy hormones, this is the episode for you. There's also a fun quiz at the end that I'm sure you'll enjoy. So, Janine, welcome to the Love Life, Live Well podcast. I'm looking forward to chatting to you about gut health.
I'm really excited to be here and to talk to you all things gut as well.
Cool, cool. Before we get into it, let me start with my questions. What do you love about life?
So I spent a bit of time thinking about this one. And the things that I love most about life is that we all get to choose what life we live. And, you know, for me, I've managed to fall into a career that I love. I can juggle that around my family. And I genuinely am so happy in life as a result. And I just get to live exactly how I want to live. And it's all good.
It's amazing, actually. I commented when we did the kind of best bits of things that I'd learned from season one of this podcast was that nobody said in that question, oh, it's my fast car, my big house, my fancy holidays. It was all around that theme of choosing life, living on purpose, deciding what to do every day, definitely a lot around family and friends and connection. So I always find it very interesting that everyone seems to have that kind of, and you might think we might strive for all the, there's nothing wrong with the fast cars and the big houses, but
oh no, absolutely not.
Yeah, but when we think about what we love about life, it's a lot more to it. I'm guessing, because you talk about gut health, you do live quite well, but what do you do to live well?
So I'm a nutritional therapist, so food is a big part of my life, and I make sure that I eat the best quality food that I can afford. I make sure that my family eats the best quality food, and it might sound a little bit cliche and silly, but I see food as my first aid kit. So whenever anyone's got anything wrong with them, my first port of call is, okay, what nutrients do you need? Let's put that in. And yeah, it's always my go-to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I guess I want to talk to you specifically today on this podcast, is because when I've been looking at this, I've been hearing a lot lately around gut health, the microbiome, macronutrients, it all overwhelming and a bit too complicated.
There's a lot of words.
Yeah, and I kind of feel that I kind of wanted to go back to the beginning and just say, you know, in a nutshell, what's it all about? What do we mean by gut health and microbiomes and all these different long words?
Okay, so the gut is essentially the first place that I would start with anyone's health, whether that be from their immune system. So somewhere between 60 to 70% of our immune system is in our gut. So if something's going on, that would be the first port of call, is let's work out if there's an imbalance of microbiome. So the microbiome is essentially the bacteria in our gut. And that can be a mix of good bacteria and then bad bacteria. And it's working out, is there a bit of an imbalance? Is the bad bacteria taking over? Do we need to be killing that off? Do we need to be feeding the good bacteria so that they've then got the strength to fight whatever's going on? You know, it could also be if, say, someone comes to me with a hormonal issue, our gut is where we metabolize our hormones. So if our gut's not working efficiently, then we can't possibly expect our hormones to be doing their thing because they're not then eliminated properly. Or if someone comes to me with, say, anxiety or a mood disorder, we produce serotonin, our happy hormone, in our gut. So again, if there's something not quite right, we won't be seeing, you know, the happy mood that we all should be. So it's about stripping it right down and working out what's going on in the gut, whether it be bacteria, could there be a link to a parasite, for example? And you don't always have to have a negative gut symptom for there to be something wrong. So even if someone says, well, you know, I'm going to the toilet every day, you know, it's perfectly well formed, there's nothing wrong, it doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't something going on in the gut.
Yeah. And I remember when we first started talking, you said to me around that link of, you know, if your gut's not happy and healthy, then we can't be, because that's kind of almost like a control center.
Yes. Yes. That's the best way of looking at it. It's essentially the heart of everything. It's what controls what's going on everywhere else in the body.
And is that for sort of, you talk about maybe anxiety or those kind of symptoms that might be more mentally related, but is it also for kind of physical things like aching joints? Or
there can be a big link, particularly with parasites, with aching joints, poor energy. And again, that sort of feeling of not being able to just get up and go, or if you find that you're not recovering particularly well when you're exercising, again, there could be a link with something going on in the gut.
If anyone's resonating with this now, going, oh, actually, yes, I'm suffering with this or that, is there anything you can do yourself, or is it something that you should go to a GP about or a nutritionist about? Is it something that kind of, what can we, I guess, self-diagnose safely?
I would always recommend working with a professional if you can, because the problem with not working with the professional is that you can sometimes go down the wrong path. That said, there are certain things that you can do. And if you're not seeing an improvement in, say, you know, 2 to 3 months, then go and see someone, because there might be something that needs a bit more investigation. Obviously, there are some red flags. You know, if you're ever experiencing any like blood in the stool or anything like that, 100% go and see a GP. But if it's something like, you know, bloating, or you just haven't got, you know, a good energy level, or, you know, even down to the hormonal side of things, or the anxiety, if it's mild anxiety, then doing those sort of first steps and, you know, taking your own health into your own hands can be really effective. It's how I actually got into this line of work, because, you know, I used Dr. Google, stumbled across what I do, and then put into place the, you know, the things that I found.
Because there's also just general health, isn't there, in that we should be eating well. And I know here in the UK, oh, goodness knows how many years ago now, it was recommended that we all eat 5 portions of fruit and veg a day. It's now kind of coming out that it should be a lot more than that, but that seemed manageable at the time. People, now we're hearing that it's not only 5 a day or 7, 8 a day, it's a variety. We should be getting that. There's a very well-known professor in the UK talking about it's the at least 30 plant-based foods a week we should be eating. So there'll be people listening who go, yeah, yeah, I'm already really healthy, I could maybe just introduce a bit more variety. People who go, oh no, I can't even get my head around that. Where do we start? What's some good things we can do just to look after our guts and therefore our entire bodies?
So one of the things that I often get clients to do is to eat the rainbow. And I get them to write down a list of all of the fruits and vegetables that they can think of that are, you know, red. So you'd have strawberries, tomatoes, you know, then we move over to the whites, onions, cauliflower, green, broccoli, kale, spinach. And I get them to write a list of everything and print that and put that up in their kitchen. And then when they're doing their meal plan, go, okay, well, I've had something from red today, I've had something from green today, I've had something from purple today. And that can be a really simple but effective way of making sure that you're getting a variety in each day. And once you've ticked off that, you know, colourful food, move on to the next thing that's on that list. Where in your week could you put tomatoes? Where in your week could you put strawberries? Where could you put broccoli? And that way, not only are you hitting the colours that you need to, you're also hitting the variety, because each of those different vegetables then contain different nutrients.
I know when I started doing this, I tend to have, particularly midweek, the same breakfast, which is fruit with porridge, oats, and then yogurt and some honey or something to make it sweet. But when I started looking into it, I was thinking, well, I could actually just shake up the fruit. So one day I might have banana and kiwi. The other day I might have frozen fruit of like raspberries, strawberries, blueberries. So I kind of each week try and do that. And then with my porridge oats, I pre-mix up seeds with that as well. So sesame seeds, chia seeds, all that kind of thing. So is that, because people, I think often when we talk about plant-based foods, it's not just fruit and veg, is it? There's so much more. Can you just run through some surprising things that we might not think of?
So even things like beans, lentils, you know, all of the nuts, the seeds, they all count as well. You know, herbs, people often forget that herbs can count towards that, you know, overall target of 30. And you can do so much with herbs, and you don't need a huge portion for it to count. You know, even just a sprinkling of, you know, coriander on a salad or a curry, or, you know, adding it to a pasta dish. It doesn't have to be a huge portion for it to actually mean something.
Things like garlic,
yep.
Chili. I know I'm gonna quiz you on some things later. Things that count and don't count, that I'm kind of intrigued in. But that's what surprised me, was, okay, actually, if I start my, what do I eat every week anyway, like garlic and chili? And then if you do something like a curry, that automatically has all your cumin and coriander and things in, then vegetables. So it does zoom out up. It's not as scary, is it?
No, it sounds scary. You know, when you think, you know, for those that are new to eating well, you're telling me I need to eat 5, and that can be a challenge. And now you're telling me I need to eat 30. Where do I start? But actually, there are so many things that can count towards it. So it doesn't have to be completely overwhelming. And again, if someone comes to me and even, you know, that sounds too much, I say, well, set yourself a challenge. Write down a list of how many things you've actually eaten this week that do count. Add 2 on next week and add 3 on the following week. And before you know it, you're hitting those numbers, and it hasn't been a all or nothing. Because sometimes when we can set ourselves up for failure, if, you know, say, for example, you're someone who only eats 10 different varieties of those plant-based foods. If you go from 10 to 30, that's a big thing to do. And if you just set yourself that challenge of, I know my overall goal, I know I can get there by the end of the month, let's just start adding them in. And even that itself can be absolutely game-changing, because each week is better than the last.
Yeah, I think if people can see progress made, that's good, isn't it? If people can say, oh, well, yes, week one I did this. And I guess even just not beating yourself up, if you, you know, analyse your food for a week and think, crikey, I've only eaten 7 or 8 different varieties of fruit and veg, you know, you've got a long way to go. But maybe breaking it down, like you're saying, adding in just a couple a week. And one thing I tried to do was look at something I cook anyway and thinking, oh, could I throw something into this? So if it's like a tomato-based sauce, could I throw some spinach in at the end that would count? Could I put some basil in or something? And could I love like kind of topping things with nuts and seeds and what have you that all count and add up. So are there some plant-based foods that are good for us, but we still shouldn't eat in excess? So, for example, I believe that dark chocolate can count. Is that right?
It depends. So I would say, yes, you can count, you know, cocoa, cacao towards your intake. But if you're sitting there with, you know, say, for example, a family-sized bar of chocolate, and the rest of the ingredients are things that are not beneficial to your health, for me, that would outweigh that singular ingredient that does count.
And would that be the same for coffee? Because again, I guess anything in excess, anything that's good for us in excess can outweigh, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there anything else that we should be avoiding? I mean, I guess we could talk for hours on all the there's so many things that we build in life and have treats on that we should avoid. But are there any, I guess, either quick wins, like hacks that we can do kind of to go, oh, include that, or things to go, oh, yeah, just be a bit careful on that one. Don't eat too much of that.
If the food that you're eating is a real whole grown food, then absolutely, you know, go for it. With fruit, I always say to people, don't go completely overboard on it, because it is still sugary, and too much sugar has just as much of a negative effect on the gut. So with fruit, I get people to eat no more than sort of two portions per day, and the rest of the makeup should be from vegetables. So yes, you can absolutely overdo it on fruit. In terms of nuts and seeds, so if you're someone who is trying to lose weight, if you're, you know, eating an entire bag of cashews or pecans or something like that, that won't be helping you. Now, I'm all for nuts and seeds, especially with my line of work. It's great for, you know, hormone balancing and everything else. But again, there is an upper limit. And I would always say, if you're having nuts and seeds, a decent portion, so say roughly size of your palm of your hand, if you're having that with one meal, then I'd be avoiding those for the other meals in the day. So it's all about being mindful of how much of this am I having, and just making sure that you're getting plenty of a variety.
And I guess that's where the 30 a week helps, because it does drive that variety. So you're not going to go, oh, I'll just eat the same nuts every day.
Absolutely.
We hear a lot about avocados. And, you know, for me, I always think that they're full of good fats, but if you had too many, is it?
So I would say, again, an avocado would be one avocado per day, if you particularly liked avocados and that was your go-to. But yeah, an avocado per person per day is fine.
Yes, yeah. But again, don't go too much.
I don't have avocado for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, that would be just as difficult as not eating anything at all. My downfall is bread. If there's one thing you could not take away from me, it's a slice of toast.
Sometimes you really can't beat a slice of toast.
Really, with, you know, with butter dripping on it kind of thing. I can be mindful sometimes if I'm not got my food in for breakfast or what have you, I might have a bagel for breakfast. And then if I'm snacking at lunchtime, I might go, oh, I'll make a sandwich. And then I've got to really think that, oh, now I need to really make sure that for my evening meal. So I guess we can get to that point where we get into habits, and maybe it's that thing of changing habits and just tracking it and trying to get a few different things in. I did say to you, I've devised a bit of a quiz around this variety. I know I'm pushing my luck on some of them. You're going to go, Emma, no, that's crazy. That's just not true. You cannot do that. Equally, there might be some things that surprise us. So I genuinely do not know if you're going to say yes to all of these, no to all of these, depends on some of them or what have you. But I'm going to go with something that I'm pretty sure I know counts, and then ask you, I'm going to kind of push into it a little bit and see if we can stretch our imaginations of how it works. So, for instance, the first one I've written down is olives. I'm guessing that's good. They count.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does olive oil count?
No, because it's the fat from the oil rather than the, you know, essentially the fiber and the nutrients. You're literally drawing out the fat from it. So for me, that wouldn't count as one of your 30.
Okay. Peanuts.
Yes.
Peanut butter.
Depends.
At least it's not right now. What does it depend on?
So I would say if it's a natural peanut butter where the only ingredients are peanuts and possibly a pinch of sea salt, absolutely it can count towards your 30. If it's a peanut butter where you've got peanuts, sugar added, you've got palm oil added, then I would argue that no, that's not beneficial for you. So leave that one out.
Cool. We've talked about, I don't know if I did actually mention that coffee, dark chocolate.
Yeah.
What about coffee cake or chocolate cake?
Again, it would depend. Despite my role, I can't say no to cake. I love a bit of cake. And you can actually make some very healthy ones. So if you're making a cake and you're using coffee, or, you know, cocoa, cacao, and you're making it with ground almonds, you're making it with a natural sweetener such as coconut sugar or maple syrup, then absolutely, I would say, yeah, count that towards some of your intake because you've made a healthy cake. If it's a shop bought full of, you know, all of the, you know, the good stuff, then no, it wouldn't count.
Yeah, I'm guessing homemade is better than.
Absolutely.
Okay, almonds obviously count.
Yes.
Almond milk?
No, because the ratio of almonds in almond milk is so low. When you actually look at it, if you look at the ingredients of something, of most almond milks, there's like 2% and the rest of it will be water.
Right.
So the amount of almonds that you'd be getting, I wouldn't count that towards your 30.
Cool, cool. Right, moving on to potatoes, then I'm thinking kind of potato crisps or potato chips, as our American friends would call them. Is that too much of a stretch as well?
That would be too much of a stretch for me. Again, unless you made your own.
Yes, I'm guessing if you did make vegetable chips at home.
So you can quite easily do it just if you use a potato peeler so that you're almost getting a peeling size of the potato, put that on a baking tray, drizzle that with a bit of olive oil, then you've got a crisp chip equivalent. And because it's made with nothing other than the potato and a bit of oil and a pinch of sea salt, you know, if you wanted bonus points, you could put some paprika or some cumin and flavour it, then absolutely. But if you're going and buying a bag of Walkers or equivalent, no, you will not get me to agree with that one.
Now thinking about seeds, because I often have things like a sesame seed bagel with a really good peanut butter. Could you count the sesame seeds on there? Or
not really. Again, because of the other things that are potentially in the bagel, they would offset the seeds. You know, if you were to make a bagel with some peanut butter and then sprinkle some extra seeds on there, yes.
Yeah, something I like actually is lots of different toppings I try to think of. Kind of a lot of Middle Eastern, like za'atar and things like that.
Yeah, lovely.
Chilies. If we are making a chili jam or chili sauce, does that, I mean, I'm guessing if a sweet chili sauce is going to way outweigh the goodness of something like that. Is there anything we can do that we can make ourselves with kind of, I guess, chili, garlic, anything like that that would?
Yep. So you can easily do like a chili and tomato homemade pasta sauce, and then it would absolutely count. You know, even adding some fresh chilies into some pasta can, you know, absolutely count. Or you could add some fresh chilies into a curry to make it count. You can do like a chili salad dressing. So chopping up a chili really finely, mix that with some olive oil, adding in some apple cider vinegar, blend it all up together. And then personally, I would add a little bit of honey or maple syrup just to tone it down slightly. But then you've got a salad dressing.
Oh, right. Okay. I shall try that one. Okay. A couple more things. Chickpeas, I know they count. Tahini that is blended sesame seeds. Where I'm going with this is, so therefore hummus that has, especially homemade hummus that is made with chickpeas, lemon.
Oh, you can't beat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I love hummus, albeit usually on bread, but hummus topped with just lots of different like kind of seeds, nuts or what have you, just to give it that, just something, sumac and things as well, I love.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Based. Yes. Yeah. Just got into that recently. Now, my final one, and you're going to know exactly where I'm going with this.
I've got an idea.
I'm starting with grapes.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
I have nothing to spot.
Grapes count.
Wine.
No, I wouldn't count wine as one of the 30. There is a place for wine. And again, if you're buying an organic, good quality wine, then, you know, it can be part of a healthy lifestyle unless you're drinking a bottle a night. But, you know, a couple of glasses of a week, absolutely fine. But I still wouldn't count it towards your 30 a week. Sorry. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
I don't know if I should have kept that one to last. Now I feel like I'm going to end on a real kind of, oh, sorry, guys, you can't drink wine. But I think we all knew that anyway. But it's good.
There's no harm in trying. If you don't ask, you don't get, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But what I've learned is things, I generally thought that olive oil was going to be okay. So that's really good to know that it's not and why it's not. Great things like the sesame seeds, add more in. Yes. Getting the message loud and clear that if we make things ourselves, we can make them healthy, like the potato chips and the vegetable chips, or the, you know, the really good quality peanut butter and hummus and things like that. And it's good to know that. I must admit, I was probably counting a couple of things in there that maybe shouldn't have been counting in, like the olive oil and what have you. But it's good to know that I can put an almond milk as well. I generally thought that one was going to be. So I've definitely learned something there. So on that note, I'm going to maybe rewrite my food plan for next week.
I'm sorry, I've given you some homework, haven't I?
But it's good, it's good. I mean, I definitely found that when I started, I've only done it for a couple of weeks since talking to you, just been trying to make a note of things. And I've been surprised on one hand how quickly it mounts up, and also how easy it is actually just to change, you know, look at a few cookbooks and add a few things in. And it's been a delight knowing that things like the herbs and spices all count as well. So thank you ever so much for talking to me, all things gut health.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Love Life, Live Well. If you enjoyed it, we'd really love it if you could give us a 5-star review and subscribe to the podcast. That way you won't miss a single episode, and it really does help us to attract more and more guests to the show. I have loved recording these podcasts. I found our guests so interesting and inspiring. I hope you have too. If you've had any aha moments or takeaways, please do share in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Even if it is just one word to tell us how you feel.